I have the amazing privilege of introducing Carrie to you all this morning. I had the privilege of going to France and Switzerland with her last year. Amazing, amazing trip. She's just full of Jesus, full of love and joy and so much wisdom. And we're all going to be very, very, very blessed this morning. So give her a big hand as Carrie comes up to speak.
Wow, I love that declaration. I feel like I'm back at Bethel. It was awesome. Yay! It's so obvious that you guys are just kindred spirits here. And I'm just, oh gosh, I just want to start crying. Are any of you kind of criers in the spirit? Can you understand? Like, is anyone an ugly crier? I can be an ugly crier. There's mascara and there's just all kinds of stuff. It's because Jesus is so good. And every single one of you here has a testimony of the goodness of God. There is not one person here who could not get up and take my place and give testimony to how good God is. And I just want to encourage you guys. All I am, I'm a daughter who's here to talk about my dad. And I'm a sister to all of you. And we're all exactly in the same place on the journey. And this place is just so incredible. I was really excited that Di talked about Ezekiel 47 because the Lord's been speaking to me out of that chapter and just about the river of God and going deep. And everything she just spoke is the question the Lord's been asking me. Are you willing to go? For a long time, I got saved when I was 17. I'm 30 something. So I've been saved for about 20 years. You can do the math. Okay. So when I first got saved, I probably went about ankle deep. I was terrified to pray for people. I was terrified to open my mouth and speak. I was a kid who really was kind of an orphan in my heart. I didn't know who I was. I didn't love myself. I was just kind of a lost kid. Had a lot of self-hatred, lots of damaging and detrimental things I was doing to myself. I think there's probably a lot of us who can relate to that. We kind of hurt ourselves in just different ways, or we self-medicate when we're not happy. And then as I was going on in my journey with Jesus, I got saved when I was 17, started to go kind of knee deep a little. And I was like, okay, this isn't too scary. This is okay. Then I met the Holy Spirit and he's like, come higher, go deeper. And now I just feel like I'm literally over my head. But it's beautiful. He has literally drowned me so that he can bring me back to life. He's drowned the flesh. He's drowned what I used to be. He's drowned all expectations that I've had of myself and my life. Performance mentalities that I used to... I was a music major in college. So performance, it was all about performance. It was all about being the best. And God just knocked that out of the water and said, you're the best because you're my kid. That's it. I was driving to work one day. I used to work at Bethel for about 3 years. I was driving to work and just talking to the Lord. I love talking to him and when I'm driving, in the shower, at the grocery store. It's pretty much just an ongoing dialogue. He's my friend. I'm his friend. It's simple. I don't get on my knees. Thou Lord, oh Father. It's just, hey Papa, what's up? How you doing? Here's my heart. How are you feeling today? Just talking to him like normal. So I was talking to him in my car and he said so clearly to me, Carrie, you could be the best singer in the world. You could be the worst singer in the world. You could be the best friend in the world. You could be the worst friend in the world. You could be the smartest person on the planet or really not the brightest tool in the shed. Okay. And I love you because you belong to me. That's all you have to do is be mine and say yes to being my child. And I will love you and lavish my love on you. And that moment, something shifted in me. Like Di was saying, there's different moments in our walk that are like a moment of encounter that the Lord's offering to us. And that was such a simple, unexpected moment of encounter where the Lord said, will you receive that? Will you just be my kid? And because I said yes, driving to work in my car, half asleep, hadn't even had coffee yet, okay? But I said, yes, I will just be your kid. He has revealed himself to me in so many powerful ways, and I stand before you a daughter. I am 100% a daughter of the living and creative God, and no one can convince me otherwise. I would stand in front of a firing squad, and they could say to me, deny that you're a child of God, and they could never get me to do it because I'm a daughter. And because I'm a daughter, everything else gets taken care of. It's such a simple message. If we know who we are as sons and daughters, everything else gets taken care of. Addictions, fears, lust, family issues, broken relationships. All of those things get taken care of when we know who we are as sons and daughters, right? So many issues that I was trying to deal with when I was growing up, that I tried to get better at, I tried to help myself and kept failing. Discouragement, lack of hope. I'm never going to change. Does God really love me? I'm such a sinner. I'm so awful. Thank God for Jesus because I'm awful. That was the message that just played in my mind over and over and over again. Sinner saved by grace, which is true. We are saved by grace, but we are redeemed. We are righteous. Even if I go ahead and offend someone and say something wrong to them, I'm righteous. I apologize to them and I make it right, but I'm righteous. That doesn't take away who I am in the Lord. So I just, all of that to say, I wasn't expecting that. I want you guys to stand real quick. And I want you to hold your arms open because Ezekiel 47 is so for this church. You are not called River for no reason. When we were in the back praying, I was telling Ian and Sabina, that I saw you guys, it was like a tsunami was getting ready to happen in Slough. But not just Slough, all over the UK, but it's going to start in Slough. And literally, do you know when I was watching some videos online of all the different tsunamis that have been happening in recent years, and it's terrifying. Okay, like in the natural, it can be really terrifying, but in the spiritual realm, wow, it's incredible. So I literally saw this moving water. Literally, it was moving pretty slowly, just moving out streams of living water out into Slough very slowly, but deliberately, consistently, purposefully, and nothing was going to stop that water. You could not put any barricade in the way of that water. It was gonna bust through the wall. I think you had a picture of a wall busting through the wall. That water is gonna bust through the wall at any and all costs. Nothing can stop moving in living water. And so I feel like one of the questions the Lord is asking you as a church, because you've done well. Your pastors are incredible. They have served you well. Ian and Sabina, Di, your whole leadership team has served you well. And they literally are jumping in head first. They're diving in. It is so obvious. I see you got your back stroking in the water. Just enjoy loving the process. So I honor what you have done in this church. It's incredible. I feel his presence so easily and so quickly in this place. And it's what you've done. It's what you've been sowing consistently. And those who've gone before you, it's what they've been sowing consistently. The River Church as a body, all of the churches, what you are sowing is incredible. But I feel like the Lord's saying, okay, do you want to go deeper? Some of you here are already in over your heads. You've already died to yourself and you're like, well, I'm already like 1,000 feet deep, and sure, I'll go deeper because there's always more. There's never an end. There's always more. Heidi Baker was talking about that in her recent book, and she's like, she just wants to drown in his love and just go deeper. That woman goes deep. That woman has transformed a nation, nations, plural, and she still realizes that she hasn't gone as deep as she wants to. That inspires me to say, if she wants to go deeper, surely I have a long way to go. And I want to go deeper and deeper and deeper. So I just want you to open your hands and just ask the Holy Spirit, where am I in the river? Am I up to my big toe? Am I up to my ankle? Maybe you've just figured out how to get to knee deep, which, you know what? There's no condemnation. That's awesome. Because knee deep for some of you is huge. And that's amazing. And it's brilliant. And he's proud of you. Some of you might be up to your chest, just about ready to go under. And it might seem a little scary because you feel like you're going to drown. Because when you go under, you feel like you can't breathe. But living in the supernatural realm is not living in the natural realm. Living under the water of the Holy Spirit is different than living in the natural realm. You can breathe in the supernatural realm. It might feel strange at first. It might feel foreign. You might feel like you're drowning. But I promise you, he's going to literally flip the switch and the supernatural realm is going to become more natural to you than the natural realm. And when you come up for air out of the water, that's going to feel foreign to you. You're going to step out of the water and go, oh, this feels weird. I want to go back in. I want to go back in. And living in the supernatural doesn't mean we have to be weird. It doesn't mean we have to freak people out who aren't ready. It just means we get to live and exist in the flow of the river of God 24/7. And what Matt was saying earlier, the river of the living God lives inside of us. So yes, it flows from the throne. And in Ezekiel 47, it says it's going to go east all the way to the Dead Sea. And if any of you have ever been to the Dead Sea, it's dead. There's not a fish. There's no life. But in Ezekiel 47, it says, life will flourish wherever this water flows. And it talks about fish, people fishing at the Dead Sea. I lived in Israel for about a year and I've traveled to the Dead Sea. It's incredible to imagine people fishing at the Dead Sea. It's literally impossible where it is right now. But the living water, wherever the living water is, life will flourish. And this water that you guys are bringing through to Slough is going to cause life and flourishing. It's like everywhere you touch, it just blooms. Someone in our team gave a word to one of the teens yesterday at Marlow that just this beautiful little redhead girl, I don't remember her name, but just saw a picture of her in green, and everywhere she touches turns life in green. I feel like that word is for you guys too. When you touch people, when you go into a place and hug someone, I see life. I see green. I see spring. I see new life. So ask the Lord where you are. Where are you in the river? Once you have that, I want you to ask him where he wants you to go into the river. Where's the next step? My next question to you is your answer yes? Are you willing? It's not where I tell you to go because I have no idea what your journey is. Holy Spirit knows you very well. And he knows where you're able to go. If he's told you that he wants you to go ankle deep and you've said yes, that's awesome. If he's told you that you're just about to be drowned over your head because you're ready, that's awesome. Wherever you are in your journey and process is incredible. And not one of our journeys looks the same as the other person. So I just break off comparison. Doesn't matter if the person sitting next to you is already drowning and you're up to your toes. For you, being up to your toes could be huge. God knows your background. He knows your history. He knows your heart. He knows where you've been and where you're going. So I applaud where everyone is. I thank you that everyone is where they need to be. And Father, if anyone needs to go deeper, Holy Spirit, show them how. I feel like the Lord's just saying all it is a yes. You don't have to figure out the whys, the how, the who, the when, the where. All you have to do is say yes, and he's going to show you how. So let's just say on the count of three, yes, Lord. One, two, three. Yes, Lord. Say it again. Yes, Lord. One more time. Yes, Lord. Jesus, we say yes. Wherever it is in this river that you want to take us, this river of living water, we say yes. We say yes. We thank you for this river that flows from the throne. We thank you that it is living. We thank you that everywhere this river touches causes life. And we thank you, God, that this river is happening. It is in the supernatural and it is going to be in the natural. And God, your word says, blessed are those who believe without seeing. We believe without seeing. I just speak a blessing over River Slough and I declare you are blessed because you believe sometimes often without seeing. And you are blessed because of that. Thank you, Father. We say yes. And I just pray for new levels, new levels, new levels, that they would go deeper in worship, that they'd go deeper in praise, they would go deeper in the word, that the wells of revival that Di has knows so much about would run deep. I literally see wells under this building going deep, and you guys can go as deep as you want. There is no end. You get to determine how deep you go just by your yes. And he's going to put all the right gear on you to go to depths that you need to go. So if you want to go 1,000 feet, he's going to put the gear on you that will give you the ability to go 20,000 feet. So the only limitation is ourselves. Just thank you for that, Jesus. All right, you guys can have a seat. Thank you. That was amazing. You know when you go someplace and you just love the people already? Just love this church. You guys are amazing. Ah. So yeah, thank you for having us here. Our team is just so blessed to come here and serve, and just the whole River network of churches. We have, there are four of us here today. We have one of them is sick. So three team members in Maidenhead and, four team members at the Journey Church. So they're kind of doing what we're doing here today, and just so excited to see what God's doing in the UK. It's amazing. It's incredible. Couple things just about who I am. As I mentioned, growing up, I think the biggest struggle I had was just, I was an orphan. I wasn't an orphan in the natural. I have parents who do the best they can and are incredible people, but I was really broken and I was an orphan, didn't know who I was. I have a heart for the nations, so I moved overseas to the Middle East for a while, lived in Jerusalem, and was a worship leader in a house of prayer there, but still was doing it as an orphan. Not knowing fully who I was. And then I encountered the Father. I knew Jesus. I had been saved. But when I lived in Israel, there was something really special that happened to me. I met Papa God in a way that I had never known him before. And literally I was there for about 14 months, and he and I would go on walks just all the time. And I would say, Papa, where do you want to go? And he would say, and I didn't know my way all around Jerusalem. So I would just say, where do you want me to go? I was learning how to hear his voice. And he'd say, go left. So I'd go left. And then he'd say, go right. And then I'd go right. And inevitably, I'd end up in this really cool place that I didn't know about. And we would just sit and chat. And it was like my father was taking me to his hometown and going, that's where I played. Well, football here would be soccer. That's where I played football growing up. That's where I had my first kiss. You know, a dad takes his kids around and says, that's my high. Well, you don't have high school. What would you have? High school. It's called high school. That's my high school. So it was like Papa was literally showing me around his hometown, showing it off to me, and then showing me off because I was his kid and he delighted in me. And so I learned about the Father. And when I learned about the Father, I learned that I was a daughter. And when I learned that I was a daughter, oh my gosh, I just, so much healing came. And then the Lord began to reveal himself to me every day in little ways. Are you guys really aware that God's talking to you and he's moving all the time? It could be like, Jesus, I need a parking spot because I have this place. And your roads are kind of crazy here. They're very narrow. People park literally in the street. It's pretty intense here. Our roads are very wide. We have lots of space. It's not the same here. God, I need a parking space. And boom, there it is. When I left Israel to come back to the States, I had left my guitar in Israel because I couldn't bring it back. I was planning to go back to Israel, but it didn't work out. The finances didn't come, and he instead had me go to Bethel, which was awesome. So my guitar was stuck in Jerusalem, and I thought, I can't afford to get my guitar back, but I need my guitar. I'm a worship leader. So I just prayed, Papa, I just pray somehow. I can't afford to ship it back, and I don't want it to get broken. I just pray that you would provide a way for my guitar to get back. 1 week after I prayed, the person who was watching my guitar for me actually moved back to the States. He moved back to Michigan, which is on the northeast coast of America. I was living in Northern California, which is about a 3-day drive cross country. And the same week that I got to Bethel, he just happened to come for a visit. So I saw him and we were chatting in the parking lot. He didn't notice any. His car was packed with stuff. He was just this kind of wanderer. Okay. He had his car packed. He texts me the next day and says, "You won't believe what I have in my car." He says, "I have your guitar. I thought I brought back another guitar, but I actually brought back yours by accident." And I, that night when we were in the parking lot, I was leaning on the guitar case as we were talking, not knowing that that was my guitar that I had just asked Papa to bring back to me from another country in the Middle East, which he brought to the East Coast of California. And then he drove to the West Coast in Northern California where I lived. He brought that bad boy thousands of miles just because he said, "I love you and I delight in you. Sure, I can bring you back your guitar. Let me get on it." Sometimes the answer is right away, like that, which is brilliant when that happens. Sometimes the answer takes years. I have a brother who has severe mental illness, all kinds of craziness. I've been praying for him since I got saved. So for over 20 years, I've been praying for my brother and really haven't seen much change in him. But I trust God's going to save him, and I trust it's coming. Those moments that I've had to wait for answers have been the most priceless moments in my life because I've had to dig deep. Learning to wait on the Lord in difficult moments is some of the most priceless moments we can have. Because if we just said, "God, give me this," and he gave it to us right away, we would almost see him as like a machine that we can just put coins in and get what we want. Sometimes he gives us stuff right away because he loves us and he wants us to know that we're there and he's taking care of us. Sometimes we have to wait for answers. And so in the waiting, kind of to go from my orphan heart all the way to where I am as a daughter, I've had to wait for a lot of things and some things that I still haven't seen come to fruition. Marriage being one of them. You guys can pray for me for that incredible man, but waiting for a lot of things. And, I was laying in bed one day at night. The Lord speaks to me a lot at night. And I was laying there and just actually was really going through a tough season, was just feeling heavy, feeling depressed, really feeling hopeless. Has anyone else felt hopeless? I think everyone here probably has had maybe one or two or 1,000 moments in life where we feel hopeless, where we feel a little despondent, where we feel like, "God, are you even there? Am I saved? Do you love me? Where are you? I've been praying for the same thing for like 20 years. Hello, I'm right here. So-and-so, their sibling just got saved and they didn't even know Jesus. But here I've been praying for this thing and it hasn't happened yet. Hello." So I was having one of those moments. "God, do you love me? Where are you?" And I was feeling so exhausted. And I had this vision of myself. He speaks to me in pictures all the time. And I had this vision and I was literally on this giant log. And the log shot across this huge ravine. And I couldn't see how far the ravine went. It was just fog below me. When I looked behind me, it was fog. So I didn't know how long I had been traveling, but I knew it had been a long time. And when I looked ahead of me on the log, it was fog. So I was literally, okay, below me, behind me, and in front of me. I don't know where I'm going and what I'm doing. But I was like, I just need to keep walking. All I can do, I can't go back. I have to go. I could jump, but that's not an option. I have to go forward. So as I started walking forward in this vision, have you guys know obstacle courses where there could be like a boulder that swings in front of you? And then there's like an axe that swings in front of you. Okay. And so you have to kind of, okay, axe, walk in between, boulder, walk in between. And so I'm literally walking through this obstacle course that is deadly. And it could kill me with one swing of an axe or a huge boulder. All of a sudden in the vision, a boulder comes and knocks me off. Knocks me off the log, and I am free falling in this vision. Free falling. And finally I was like, I give up. I'm tired. Fine. Just let it happen. I'm done. All of a sudden in this vision, the hand of the Lord catches me midair. And he puts me back on the log. I don't want to cry saying this because it's real to me today as it was when it happened. He gently puts me back on the log and I said to him, God, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I've been walking with you for about 18, 19 years. I'm tired. There's things that I can't control and there's prayers that have not been answered. And I'm exhausted in the journey. I can't do it anymore. So Papa God, in his grace and mercy, which we sang about, said to me so clearly, lay down. And I was weeping in my bed and I was like, I can just lay down. What do you mean? I got to keep going. And he said, lay down. He literally said, stop. And all of the obstacles stopped. They stopped. And he said, lay down. And so I laid down in my vision. And then he put up these two bars. You know how children have bars on their bed so that they don't fall down? In this vision, he put these two bars next to me, saying to me, you're not going to fall. And I've got you. And you can lay down and sleep as long as you need to sleep. And when you're ready, we'll get back up and we'll start again. He was giving me no timeline. He didn't say in 5 days, I want you to be ready. Get your backpack back on and we're going, kid. He was saying, you take as much time as you need. And when you're ready, because he's a gentleman, when you're ready, we'll continue on the journey. And so I took that. It was just such a powerful vision that I had and literally took time that I needed just to rest. Because I was a wounded, tired soldier in the army in the kingdom of God, which I think all of us can relate to. I had been trying for so long and climbing just to get knocked down again, to get up and then get scratched again, to stand up and start again. And there's power in that journey of up and down and up and down and choosing yes. But I was weary. And so he let me just sleep and rest. And when that time of rest was over, I knew it. And I literally got back up. He brushed me off. And I said, okay, let's go again. And so I'd start walking. And I can tell you, in the spiritual realm, in the natural, I'm on the other side of the log now. I'm into the promised land. He showed me I'm there. And now I get to explore what's on the other side, the promised land as a daughter. But I had to go from being an orphan through my process of learning how to trust him when it was hard, when I didn't understand what he was doing, to now being on the other side. Doesn't mean I'm not going to have to still walk in trust, in faith on the other side. It's probably actually going to sometimes get even harder. Because as we get stronger, we go from milk to solid food and God expands our capacity. But I just want to encourage you, before we can be mothers and daughters for this next generation, we need to learn to be sons and daughters. And I feel like he's preparing me now to be a mother. Everyone on the team calls me Mama Carrie, which I actually adore because that's my heart. My heart is to mother people in the spirit. But before I could become a mother, I had to become a daughter. And before I could become a daughter, I had to know that I was an orphan. And I had to walk through the journey. For me, the journey took a long time. It took years, years. I feel like in this generation, it's not going to be that long. There are going to be people who get it really quickly. For whatever reason, my journey had to be what it had to be. But I just want to encourage you guys, if you feel like an orphan, if you don't know God as Papa, if you don't know who you are as a daughter or a son, then ask him to show you. In my mind, every day I literally go and just sit in his lap and he wraps me in his arms. I visit him every day and he loves on me as a father, as a good father, and it's transformed my life. So I want to encourage you guys in that. You are called to be mothers and fathers to a generation. And many of you know that you're sons and daughters. But if you don't, I would also encourage you to come to your leaders and say, I don't know how to be a son and a daughter. And they're really going to help minister you through that. And we can pray for you for that tonight, today as well. Yeah, there's a scripture that's really, really important to me. And it's 2 Corinthians 12, verse. We're going to start at verse 9. So basically, this is talking about Paul's vision and the thorn that he had in his flesh. Okay, so I'm just going to skip to verse 8. Three times, Paul said, I begged the Lord to take it away, to take away the thorn in his flesh. Each time, God said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's such a dichotomy, isn't it? To be when we're weak, then, only then are we strong. And has anyone experienced like the palpable grace of the Lord? You literally could feel grace working in your life. And grace is basically, it's the definition that I've come up with for grace is it's unmerited favor. Unmerited meaning you did nothing to deserve it. We've done nothing to deserve it. It's unmerited favor and power to do what we can't do on our own. I think often people confuse grace with mercy. And we think grace is just, you know, grace is his forgiveness for us, which we didn't warrant. That's great. But what we forget is his grace gives us power to do that which we can't do on our own. So if we have addictions, if we have struggles, if we have problems with our mind, if we have learning disabilities, if we have physical illnesses that we can't seem to heal on our own, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. That's his power working in us. His mercy is, wow, I forgive you. I forgive you, and it's unmerited. You've done nothing to receive my forgiveness, but I forgive you. And so I feel like God also wants to give this church a new level of grace that you haven't experienced before. A grace as a body to do things that you've never been able to do before as a church, because it's literally the power of God working in you. But also grace individually for each of you, for your own individual lives that you need. And I think that there's no coincidence that there are, what, 12 nations represented here? Is it 12? How many people here are not from UK? Can you just say what your nation is, where you're from? Woo! Where in USA? Indiana. All right. Ireland. Yay. Portugal. Wonderful. Zimbabwe. Where are you guys from? Germany. We have a German on our team. You guys are going to have to connect. Germany and South Africa. Wow. What were you doing? So are both, is one from Germany, one's from South Africa? Okay. Wow. How did you guys meet? Is it complicated? Wow. You knocked her down in a pub? Wow. How romantic. Wow. So how'd you meet your wife? Well, I knocked her down in a pub. And then that's all she wrote. She fell in love with me after that moment. Actually, I feel like, Simon, I'd love for you to prophesy over them in German. Do you have a word for them? Can you come up? I'm going to put you on the spot. Because we love to do this to our team. Come on up and just pray over them. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. There's something really special in the two of you as a couple. I'm going to ask him what it is, and we're going to get back to that. Flowing in the grace of the Lord means you got to be willing to change your plan. If the Holy Spirit said, we have our plan, and then we change it when he says to change it. But I really feel like you guys are parents of the house. Mother and father, Matt said, you are just such a covering over this house. You're such a covering. And there's no coincidence why God brought Germany and South Africa together. I don't know what that connection is, but you are a couple who's meant to bring nations together. Do you have children? How many kids? Two kids. I feel like part of that is through your children. Actually, it's through your seed. What's going to go out? And you actually, your life is also a prototype for this church. There's no coincidence that this church, such a beautiful congregation, and not, what is there, maybe 40 to 60 people, between 40 and 60 people that you have 12 nations represented? That's pretty amazing. Probably more. That's almost unheard of, to have so many nations represented in one church. I just see this church, it's like you're going out in all directions like a light. When you pray here and you declare here, your home country is getting blessed. Your nation is getting changed. You can do that from anywhere. When we were in America, we were praying blessings over the UK, and things were shifting here, and we weren't yet here. So you have power and authority to change things in your nation. I don't think I got all the other nations. What else is represented? Pakistan. Awesome. I've never been to Pakistan, but someday I want to go. Greece? Oh, that's like paradise. At least in movies that I've seen, it looks like paradise. The water is so blue. It's so beautiful. When did you move to the States? In the States. We're in the UK. When did you move to the UK? Oh, so you've been here a while. Okay, 89. Where are you from? Spanish, Hungarian, French, and English. That's what a combo. Another powerhouse couple here, too. And you guys are married. Yeah, I kind of figured. I got the vibe. I got the vibe, the marriage vibe. That's awesome. Something else we were feeling for your church is so family-oriented. Not just River Slough, but all of the river churches. What you guys are building in family and community is really powerful. You get to sow into a really healthy church and dig your roots deep and build covenant relationships. A lot of people tend to church hop when they're unhappy or there's a disagreement. Or where, you know, we disagree about something theologically. We break partnership and we break relationship. And that's not what covenant is. Covenant is we're family, even in the midst of disagreements. And I feel like this church is one that does that really well. You don't have to agree about everything in order to be family. In my family, we don't agree about everything. They literally, when I told them I was going to move to Israel, they wanted to chain me to the door and said, you're not going. And I said, well, yeah, actually I am. I love you, but this is what's going to happen. And, you know, and that covenant remains. So I just want you guys to open up your hands here. And when I was ministering yesterday, I feel like the Lord's showing me that he's increasing capacity for grace. And I literally could feel grace moving in my life. And, you know, normally I would have jet lag or feel exhausted or just there's so much going on with our team. But I feel so much peace and so much grace. And it's the Lord. And so I want to release that to you guys. The same grace team, could you actually just go around and just lay hands on people? We just release grace. We release grace to this team, to this church, to this body. Oh, these brothers and sisters, they are such brothers and sisters. They are part of our family. We just, Father, I just pray that you would pour out grace from heaven. Pour out a grace in their life to receive. I pray for a new wineskin, God, that will be able to hold more wine. I declare that the capacity to receive grace, the capacity to receive this new wine is going to increase. You can't stay in the old wineskin and receive the new wine. So God, I just pray over this body that now is the time for a new wineskin, a new measure of grace, a new measure of Holy Spirit, and that this is going to affect the nations, not just the UK. This is going to go all over the world. God, we just thank you. We just thank you, Jesus. Guys, keep going around and praying for people, but if you get a word for someone in the congregation, just take the mic. Word of knowledge, or if there's a word for healing in the room. We just want to do some time right now of just some prophetic ministry. And then we're also just going to get up to the front at the very end and just pray for anyone who has needs. Could be a need for healing. Jesus heals today. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. the power and the blood of Jesus. We have seen the most incredible healings, as I'm sure you guys have here as well. He is on the move with healing. So if you've got a physical need, if you just need a touch from the Lord, if you don't know that you're a son or a daughter and just need revelation of that, we just pray for that.